He shifted the blame on God and forgot the fact that they actually did evil in the sight of God. And God handed them over to the Midianites. Gideon left that part where the children of Israel turned their backs on God and worship other gods. They in fact worshiped the god of the Midianites. Baal was a god of the Midianites. They worshiped the god of those who were oppressing them. Isn't that crazy? Doesn't that even sound dysfunctional? The very people who are attacking you, destroying you, you're worshiping the god that they serve. That was the mode of operation for the children of Israel for so long. One generation passed, the next generation came back. They kept on doing this cycle of disobedience with God. And God kept sending a prophet to speak the truth, to speak the word of God. But they don't turn to the truth, and they kept gravitating towards doing those evil things and serving gods other than the true God. That's what we're seeing right now. And when Gideon is talking to the angel, is responding to him, he's saying, why has this happened to us? Where he gets it really wrong, he thought that God had abandoned them instead of the fact that they turned their backs on God. But I believe that response from God at this point made a big difference in the life of Gideon. I think that set the course in verse 14 into what we know Gideon to be. Verse 14, God said this to him. God turned to him. Isn't it amazing when God turns to you? I know he shows up, but when he turns to you, it means that he's giving you his undivided attention. He appeared to him. He spoke to him, but now he turned to him. He turned to him and he actually said, go with the strength you have. Go with the strength you have. He's reminding Gideon right now that the strength is already in him. The strength is behind the name that he carries himself, Gideon. It's not a little name. It's Gideon, a destroyer, a warrior. He says, go in the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. It's like the king is sending you forth. You carrying the seal, the power, the authority of that king. I am sending you forth to do what I've called you to do. I'm sending you forth. On that day, Gideon understood the real meaning of his name, destroyer. Later on in chapter 6, how do we know this? Because later on in chapter 6, Gideon destroyed the temple of Baal. And the people started to call him Jerubbaal, which means Baal destroyer. The real meaning of his name was found, was discovered. It was hidden because he did not know that God was the one who would send him to rescue the people of Israel. But once he realized who he was, his true identity in the might of God, something clicked. Something switched. I know who I am. I know whose I belong. Isn't that the same for us? When God has called us to do something and we feel so unqualified to do it. Right? We question the assignment. We question the location. We question whatever God is telling us to do that is impossible. Because if God is calling us to do something, it's not going to be something that is difficult only. To show His power, His might, it's got to be something that is totally impossible. So that no one could take any credit for what happens. See, when we read the story of Gideon, we find out that really no one could actually take any credit for what happens. Number one, God is sending somebody who's so unqualified that has never been in a battle, calling him a mighty man of valor, a mighty warrior, calling him by his real name. You are a destroyer. You are a Jerubbaal, a Baal destroyer. Isn't that amazing when we feel so powerful and so confident when we realize who we are? We're just not a nobody. We are a child of God. Right? We serve Him. We are the son and daughters of God. We serve a mighty God. When we realize who we are in Christ, guess what? Nothing, absolutely nothing can stop us. Because we go forth in His might. On that day, Gideon realized that he was in fact a destroyer of the enemy. He realized the real meaning behind his name. Why is this even worth mentioning? Because when we want to talk about Gideon, we want to talk about the war. The battle that he faced with just 300 men, but there is much more to it, to the story of Gideon than just that. Before Gideon could ever fulfill his destiny as a judge, he was just a farmer. But before he could fulfill his destiny as a judge, as a mighty man of valor, he had to first find the value of his name. He had to find his true identity. Before he ever could lead an army for God, he had to, number one, tear down the temple of Baal. Before he was even called a mighty man of valor, he had to be a Baal destroyer. Why is this worth mentioning? Behind Gideon's name was a mighty God. Behind his name stood a mighty God. You see, there's much more to the story of Gideon than just a battle with 300 men. It's also a story of God restoring the identity of a man. I believe this is more important. This is more important than him fighting the Midianites army with just 300 men. I believe right there this is the pivotal part of this whole story about Gideon. He realized who he was. He realized at this point that he can actually do it. Even if it was for just 100 men, he would have done it. Because he realized at this point that he was not doing it because of his own might. He realized the meaning and the value behind his name. Behind his name. There is so much that we can extract from the story of Gideon. So much. The first thing is behind your name. I want to get personal this morning. Behind your name, you will discover the real you. It doesn't matter if you're sitting down here and you are 13 years old or you are 100 years old this morning. When you discover what is behind your real name, you can accomplish so much more that what you can do now with just you. You will discover the real you, your destiny, just like what we've been praying for these little souls, these little gifts from God. God has an assignment for each and every one of them that He set aside even before they were born. While they were still in their mother's womb, God called them out. God put an assignment. God called them His masterpiece. Put a unique assignment on each and every one of them this morning that we prayed for. That they will discover this assignment as they serve God. As they learn to hear His voice. As they learn the true identity behind their names. The true calling lies behind it. And I'm not just talking about your natural names, the one that you have on your birth certificate. I'm talking about your destiny name. Your destiny name. The one that comes from your heavenly Father. The one that is written right here in your hearts. That is where your true identity is. Not just on that piece of paper, but right here. That's what Gideon discovered. He discovered on that day his true identity. That he was going to go forth right there to rescue Israel because of who he was in Christ, in God. So your destiny name reflects his identity. Your destiny name reflects His power, His authority. So what's your destiny name this morning? What is your destiny name? In 1 Peter 2:9, God calls you chosen, a royal priest, God's possession. 1 John 4:4, He calls you an overcomer. John 15:15, a friend of God. A masterpiece, a treasure. Sons and daughters of God. He calls you His beloved. Take your pick. Take your pick. What will align itself more appropriately to your destiny name? I'll put a checkbox among with all of them. That's what God calls you. That's where your true identity resides. If you're going through an identity crisis, you're trying to figure out who you are, I would start there. I would start reading this and trying to discover what is God saying about me. What is the story that is written about me that He wants me to discover? That He wants me to find out? I'm like, Lord, speak to me. Tell me. What is it? What is this assignment? What is this task that you have for me? And God will. Just like He did to Gideon. God is approaching Gideon with one purpose, to reveal to him who he really was. When you approach the throne of God, guess what? He will reveal to you who you really are. Your true identity, the purpose, the assignment that he has for you while you're still breathing. There are things to be done. There are tasks that we need to accomplish while we're still breathing. Because at the end of the day, you want to walk up to the throne of God. When you look at the eyes of your master, you want him to say, well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You were faithful with little. Here, be a ruler. Be in charge. Over even more. We don't have to wait until we breathe our last to do this. The assignment is here and now. The assignment is here in this church. There is so much that God has assigned for us to do in this church, in this community, to have an impact where we are, in our sphere of influence. Don't walk away. Don't walk away from it. That's where we walk in and say, okay, what is this assignment that you have for me? I'm going to let aside anything that would stop me from fulfilling the task that God has assigned for me. I will not let offense get in the way. I will not allow my own ego get in the way. I will check those out at the door. But I want you, Lord. God is looking for warriors as such. Because a lot of time when we think about warrior, we think about big accomplishments that we're going to do. But God wants to test us, to challenge us in the little things, in the little tasks. God wants to challenge us in the sphere of influence where we are right now. Because a lot of time we're looking for that next season to be effective, to be useful. Here's a man that was threshing wheat in a wine press. And yet again, God said, I can still use you. I'm sure there were so many other captains in the army. But God did not choose any other captain to lead his army. God chose a farmer. A farmer. That probably will not be your first choice, right? I'm not going to choose a farmer to defend the nation. I'm going to pick the biggest general that is out there. But that's not the way the kingdom of God works. Everything is in reverse with God. You want to get high? God goes down low. That's how he starts. That's how he does things. That's how he prospers people. He pushed them forward in the way that he wants them to walk in. And God is only asking for a willing heart. Somebody would say, that's me, Lord. Little bitty me. I don't know much. I've never been to school. I don't know how to read well. But can you use me? That is the candidate that God is looking for. He's looking for somebody to just say, yes, Lord, use me. Just like Gideon. In order to discover the real you, you must get rid of the old you. Because the old you, it would come up every time. Every time when there's an assignment, the old you would come up. Well, let me show you what I can do. Let me show you my skills. Let me tell you everything that I've accomplished in my life. That's the old you. When you die to the old you, the new you comes up, humble, in humility. Saying, Lord, I'm ready to be used. Just like Isaiah said, here I am, Lord. Send me. Send me. Here I am. I am an unworthy person of unworthy lips. But I know that I can speak your word if you anoint me. That's where we start with God. We start low. We start on our knees. That's how we start as a nation, to rebuild, to restructure a nation. We start low, down on our knees. God is looking for a generation that would turn to him, just like he was looking for a generation that would turn to him, even back in Gideon days. Their hearts were far away from God. And God is speaking those same words to us as a nation. Turn back to me. Let me fix what you cannot fix. Let me fix what politicians cannot do. I can. Turn to me. Turn to me. Galatians 2:20 says this, talking about the old self. How many of you got some old self? I got my BC days before Christ. That was where my old self was. But guess what? The old self, once in a while, will try to creep back in try to take the center stage. And every time I have to remind the old self of this verse right here. I, my old self, has been crucified with Christ. I got to say this. I got to remind this old self that I have been crucified with Christ. Because the old self doesn't want to believe that. I don't know about you, your old self, but my old self struggles with this. Because the old self wants to pump himself up. Wants to bring up everything that I know, everything that I can do. My old self wants to hold on to those old habits, those old mindsets, these old toxic relationships. The old self wants to gravitate towards things that hurt us, that stops us from seeing the truth, from seeing our potential in Christ. Each time I have to remind my old self, you've been crucified, buddy, with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. That should be our daily prayer. That should be something that we constantly tell ourselves. Old self, you've been crucified with Christ. You no longer live. It is Christ who lives inside of me. I'm here alive and breathing, sucking air right now because he lives in me. We have to tell that old self the same thing because the old self does not want to believe that. I know my old self and I don't like him very much. Each time he comes up, I said, I've been redeemed, bought by the precious blood of Jesus. I have been purchased. I'm no longer even mine. So be gone. A lot of time we gotta speak that out loud. We gotta look in the mirror and say, you know what, be gone. You've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but he that lives in me. God does not want you and me to live in the skin of the old you. God doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to be free. Number two is this. We're talking about destiny name, right? And that's what we've been speaking for a while. What's your destiny name? But in order for you to have, to fulfill, to walk into your destiny name, you're going to need to make room for it. You're going to need to move some stuff aside and to create space for your destiny name. How do you do it? By drawing near to God. That's the only thing. God wants space in your life. He wants space. Space is time. Space is commitment. Space is passion. Space is you. He wants all of it. In order for you to make room for God in your life, you're going to need to draw near. When you draw near, God gives you a new heart. He gives you a new spirit. He gives you a new identity. That's where you discover that destiny name. It's engraved in your heart. You need a new heart to discover who you are. When you serve God and when you've been crucified with him, God gives you a brand new heart, a brand new spirit, a brand new identity so that you can serve him. Otherwise, you'll be in conflict with yourself, not knowing what to do. Oh, do I do this way? If I do it this way, oh, I'm going to make these people mad. Or if I say this way, I'm going to make these people mad. But how about standing on this? Are you going to make people mad? Yeah. Guaranteed you will. But guess what? That's never going to change. Same today, yesterday, forever. No matter what changes in what you see, in the natural all around you, this movement, this government, that government, they will change. Crisis will change. It might be the coronavirus today. Tomorrow there's going to be something else. You know what's never going to change? Is this. And who you are. According to this, that will never change. So if you need to find an anchor for your identity, I would start right here. That's where I would discover it. That's where I would place my hope, my trust, is when I draw near to Him, I know He will give me a brand new heart, a brand new spirit, a brand new identity. That's His promise. In Ezekiel 36, 26 says this, "And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony heart, your stony, stubborn heart, and I will give you a tender, responsive heart." You know what's responsive? It's responding to the whispers of God. You will respond to His Spirit. You will not respond to what you hear in the news. You will not respond to fear. You will respond to His Spirit. When you have a responsive heart, you might make people mad, but you will respond only to Him. That's where your safety is. So you draw near, and as you draw near, God will give you a new heart. You will no longer go by your old names. Names that maybe you used to call yourself. Or names that someone else used to call you. Useless, ugly, worthless, dumb, stupid. You no longer have to accept those names anymore. Why? You've got a new heart. You've got a new spirit. Your stony heart that used to believe in those names, in those identities, they've been taken away. Your heart is tender now. Your heart is responsive now to the new names that God calls you. You are now a son and a daughter of God. You are now a masterpiece. Your now call is beloved. You're now called chosen, royal priests. Amen to that. You're called by the names that sit behind the name that you know. Your true identity is not on a piece of paper. Your true identity is found in Him. And you discover that because you have a new heart that is responsive and tender to Him, to His Spirit. That's why you discover yourself. That's where you find out who you truly are in Christ, your Lord, your Savior. You are now God's property. You are now God's property. Those old names that have been taking real estate in your mind, in your heart, you can kick them out. They can no longer occupy space in you anymore because you've been given a brand new heart. A responsive heart, a tender heart to Him. You can kick out any old names or any old titles that you used to carry. Be it abuse, victim. You can kick out all these things. You can take on a brand new title of who you are in Christ. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We've been given a freedom that the blood of Christ has paid for when He died on the cross for humanity. That's where our freedom is. That's where we cling on to. Because this will never change. It will never change. The blood of Christ will never change. It will never lose its power. It will always stay the same. So if we need to get freedom from anything, I would run to the blood of Jesus. That's what sets me free. That's what gives me the true identity. My DNA comes from Him. No longer from my forefathers who struggle with, cancer, high blood pressure. I've got a new strand of DNA in me because of the blood of Jesus Christ who pumps blood in my veins. You carry that same level of identity and DNA in your blood because of His blood. God will give you a brand new heart, a brand new spirit, a brand new identity. Do you have to work for it sometime? Absolutely. I'm not saying here that, hey, you know what, boom, and it's done. You're going to have to look in the mirror and talk to this old self every single day. I'm no longer the same. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer need this bottle to make me feel good. Because I'm anchored in You. Your spirit comforts me when I'm down. I don't need that. I'm anchored in You. I don't have to be attached to this thing, to this name, to this movement. I'm attached to You, Jesus. As long as I'm attached to You, I'm safe. Things will come and go, but You'll never change. You'll always be the same. That's our reassurance. As long as you hold on to the truth, you're still a work in progress. I believe each one of us should carry this sign, okay? A big old sign that says, work in progress. Sign God. I think we should make t-shirts like this. Work in progress. Sign God. Maybe attach a scripture to it. I don't know. Philippians 1:6. For he who began a good work in me will bring it to completion. He started something in me. I'm a work in progress. You know, I think we all are like this. We've not arrived. As long as we're breathing air, God is not done. As long as you're breathing today, God is not done. You've not arrived. I've not arrived. I'm like, Lord, do the work in me. Change me. Those evil faults that I have, Lord, change me. Renew my mind. We're all on the same journey, where we want God to change our life. We are a work in progress. Here's another reason why Gideon, the very first assignment that he had before he even tackled the army of the Midianite, the very first assignment was to tear down. To tear down Baal's temple. You know why? God cannot, will not share His throne with someone else. That's one thing He'll never do. God will not share His throne with someone else. Now, the Baal temple in your life might look very different from what we know in the Bible. Your Baal temple in your life might be the places that you used to hang out at. That might be a temple in your life that I used to hang out with these, in these places, in these type of environment. This might be your Baal temple. Your Baal temple might be those toxic relationships. Those people that keeps spewing venom into your life. Those toxic relationships. Maybe even so-called friendship. But then when you truly examine the nature of that friendship, like, you know what? I don't think they're friends anymore. Or they should not be friends. Period. Your Baal temple might be old habits, old mindset. But you need to tear those Baal temples down. For you to fulfill your destiny, to walk into this destiny name that God has set aside for you. you're going to need to tear those temples down. So in closing, this is what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to ask you this question again. Because I asked this in the beginning and I want you to reflect on it. I'm going to ask you this again. What's behind your name? Your destiny? It's God's plan for your life. That's what you'll find when you draw near to Him. When you ask Him to give you a new heart. Change my heart, Lord. It's a simple prayer. I'm not talking about you need to go up on a mountain for 10 days eating nothing but bugs and honey. After you come down from the mountains, after losing 100 pounds, then God's going to speak. That's not what I'm talking about. We're not talking about some weird science here. We're talking about somebody who's just going to go to the throne of God and say, I have no clue. Idea. I don't know what I'm going to do in my life, but I know you got a name for me. You got a destiny for me. I want my name, my destiny to be coming from you. Give me a heart that is tender to you. Give me a heart that is responsive to you. It's just that. It is just that. Right where you are, I want this to be your prayer today. As it is mine as well. Lord, give me a responsive heart. Give me a heart that is turned towards you. Lord, help me put myself aside, my old self, my ego, everything about me. I want to lay it down. I want you. Only you. Just that. Just that. Right where you are, you can accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's the first step in your journey. If you've never made that prayer, I want to invite you to do this. Right where you are, if you're watching online, same. God is just wanting you to approach Him and say, here I am, I'm a sinner. I've not followed you, or I've walked away from you. Lord, I want you to come back and restore what the enemy has destroyed in my life. I want to remove those temples in my life where they don't belong. They are robbing me of my identity. I want you and more of you, Lord. That's where it starts. I'll tell you the story behind my name. Some of you know it, some of you don't. In 2005, at Oral Roberts University, I discovered what was behind my name. That name that I was so ashamed of. If you put that name back up. That name that I was so ashamed of. I found that out from somebody who actually could speak the Sanskrit language, like a Latin language that is dead. It translates as such in Sanskrit. Servant of one God. I grew up Hindu, serving thousands of God. We had a God for everything. When I needed help for school, there was a God that we go to. If we needed direction, there was a God that we went to. Every day before going to school, I remember standing at the altar. Just like a Baal altar. It was in my house. My mom would pray for me. Like any good mom would do. We were all in darkness. We had no idea what we were doing. She would pray. She would go through different cantation of different things that she would repeat over and over and again, that half of the things I did not understand what she was saying. She didn't even know what she was saying. That was my background. That was my exposure growing up. Until that day in 2005, after I received Christ in 1996, this friend of mine told me that this is what your name means. Servant of one God. One God. Not a thousand gods. One God. That name was given to me by not even my mom, not even my dad. It was given to me by a Hindu priest, a sorcerer. Okay, to say it really plainly, that's basically who he was. He was a sorcerer that looked in a book, looked at the alignment of the stars and all this stuff, and said, okay, this is the name that you need to give to this child. And that was the name that was given to me. Little did I know that this name, there was a meaning behind the name. There was a destiny attached behind the name. It was more than there was a name that was written on my birth certificate. It was more than that, just piece of paper. There was a spiritual meaning that my Heavenly Father had. There was a special meaning to this name that my Heavenly Father, not even my natural father knew what he was giving me, but my Heavenly Father knew. So for Father's Day, I want you to remember this. Your Heavenly Father is greater than your earthly father. Isn't that amazing? I don't know what your past might look like, but I'm here to tell you that your Heavenly Father is even greater than your earthly father. And he's got a name that is attached to the name that you know in the natural. It's called your destiny name. Just like Gideon, mighty man of valor. So what is your destiny name? What is the name that God has set aside for you that came from Him, from your Heavenly Father? Would you please stand as we pray? Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you that our mind, our hearts are turned towards you. Father, we long for more and more of you. Father, we thank you, for you have sent your Son, your one and only Son, to die for us, to give us purpose, to give us meaning to our lives. Lord, give us this new heart that is tender, that is responsive to you. Even now, Lord, let us discover what you've created for us. Why are we here? Let us find this true meaning in you. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you all. And happy Father's Day. For those who have joined us online, we bless you. And we'll see you again next week, next Sunday. Bye-bye.